Hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 7th of January. We're going to be talking about, well, this was inspired by an article that Jonathan Alter has written for the January 12 issue of Newsweek, Don't Muffle the Call to Service. From FDR to Bill Clinton's AmeriCorps, leadership and service has always come from the president. He writes, with the new Congress convening this week, Democrats planning to have the roughly $700 billion stimulus package ready for the new president to sign ASAP. For all the talk of transparency, Obama's big opening act is being prepared in secret. But we know this, the shovel-ready public works projects will definitely get funded. The people-ready good works projects might not. And if AmeriCorps isn't expanded now, there likely won't be money for it later when we are facing trillion-dollar deficits. He talks about national service, which really doesn't have a very large lobby, but that Obama has been able to gather all of these people to do something for the good of the country. And this may be the time to come up with some significant national service plan. And we're going to be talking about that this hour. I think we'll have a lot of calls on the subject because I know many of you have done national service or you are doing national service. I'm always amazed by the number of former Peace Corps volunteers and VISTA volunteers who have gone into government service, actually, and who call our show when we talk about these issues. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Jonathan Alter will be joining us sometime during this hour. We also have with us a couple guests who know a great deal about service. Michael Thornton is joining us, faculty director at the Morgridge Center for Public Service at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And Michael, hello. Thank you very much for being with us. Yeah, let's see if we can reach him there. Michael, hello. Well, let's try, unless Michael's on this line. Is this Kathy?
Yes.
All right, Kathy. Kathy Martinson is with us, director of the United Way Volunteer Center in Madison. Kathy, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
And we'll try and reach Michael here in a moment. I'm sure you saw the Jonathan Alter piece. Is this a moment, Kathy, for the president-elect to say to everybody, as only a president can say, I remember the days when John Kennedy called for people to serve in the Peace Corps and in the VESTA program, to come up with a new program or to significantly fund other programs that already exist? Kathy, are you there?
Hello?
Oh, no, we have...
This is very exciting. So we're looking forward to what happens with this. And you know, we know that people are already very engaged, especially in our community, in so many ways to make a difference. And there are so many opportunities to do that. So the more we can get the word out and get people excited about it and find the right opportunity for them to get involved with, all the better.
Mm-hmm. Do you hope that the president, do you expect that the president-elect will announce a major national service initiative in his inauguration speech?
That is not for me to predict. I have no idea. It would be very exciting if he does. But we're all looking forward to seeing if that is part of it or not.
Mm-hmm. And I believe we do have Michael with us now. Michael, hello.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hi. Thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
And do you think, and should the president announce some kind of national initiative for public service?
Go ahead, Michael.
Thank you. I think this would be an opportune time for that. And I think one way that he could argue for that is to say that volunteerism, public service more generally, can serve important economic reasons. By volunteering, people can do work that otherwise might go undone, but also volunteers can do work that otherwise would have to be funded by the state and private capital. And so ultimately, and volunteerism also helps our economic issues that we're facing today.
Mm-hmm. Do we need some kind of major program that everybody can unite around? Does he need to announce, do you think, an expansion of an AmeriCorps program or to announce a new kind of program where a lot of agencies would serve under the umbrella of a yet-to-be-announced national service program? Kathy?
Well, I think AmeriCorps is a wonderful way for people to be involved in their community, and we've had some great examples of that in our community where we've had AmeriCorps workers involved in a major effort to help reduce the racial achievement gap, the academic achievement gap in our schools. And so they have played a tremendous role in helping to not only do in the work that they're doing directly, but the work that they have then done to engage community members as volunteer tutors and mentors in our schools. So AmeriCorps workers are, it is a wonderful opportunity and a wonderful way for people to be engaged. I think that's just one way, though, for people to become involved, because it certainly is a big commitment and a pretty unique way to get involved. But there are just so many other ways where our community and our nonprofit organizations need volunteers that I think is very exciting, that I truly think there is something for everyone, and that's the great part of it. So how we get people enthusiastic and excited on a local and national level about how they can help in their communities and finding the right fit for them, be it AmeriCorps or more traditional volunteering, is that what I'm hoping that we hear.
Yeah, and Michael, how do we do that? How do we get people to say, yes, I want to serve, and then guide them to the appropriate place to serve?
Well, I think the ironic part of it is that there are a lot of people who want to serve, but they're rarely asked to serve. And so what we're finding out is that when you ask people to serve, they are often very willing to do so. As Kathy was mentioning, that there are so many opportunities through her United Way, for example, is a good way of thinking about it. But I also think that, to go back to the question you just asked previous to this one, I think that what the new president could do is really create some office that would help the nonprofits work together more closely. So I think the nonprofits do a lot of good work, but often they are isolated from each other, and they don't work collaboratively in that.
And if I could just add, I think that's a really good point. And, Michael, you're right. You know, the first thing that we see as far as how to get people involved is having some type of call to action so that people know that there's a need for them to get involved, and then to make a request that's a personal one that they can relate to, be it by a friend or somebody they can that they respect, that's asking them to come to that call to action. But then also, as Michael was just talking about the nonprofit organizations, you really need the experience to be meaningful. And so to have people, you know, it's one thing to get involved initially in volunteering, but then you want that experience to be meaningful so that volunteers can see the results of that. And so how we can help support nonprofits is really important as well, so that we have meaningful experiences and volunteers want to continue to do what they signed up to do.
What's meaningful?
Well, it depends what's meaningful to them. I think seeing the results of what they're doing and knowing that whatever it is that they're doing is having an impact on the mission of the organization that they're involved with. You know, some people want to get involved in more of a direct service way, so they want to do the tutoring and they want to see the academic achievement in the child that they're tutoring. Others might want to use their more professional skills and help an agency become more effective or efficient, helping them with strategic planning or marketing or on their board, or helping out with events that bring public awareness to that organization. So I think it's whatever is meaningful to the person, but having it not be just work that doesn't seem to have a purpose to it is what we don't want volunteers to be doing. So it's meaningful to the person and also meaningful to the organization.
Yeah, I think if I might interject,
yes.
I think for college students, what's meaningful is something that they can make a difference at. That they can do something that has an impact on other lives. I think oftentimes when they first come to the university, they're so engrossed in their own lives, and if you will, they're kind of egotistical about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that what often happens when they participate in something called service learning, for example, on our campus, where as part of a course they're required to work in the community and work with community agencies, they find by the end of the semester that they often have a calling, if you will. They often find that something that really moves them and leads them to see that they can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of service learning are they doing?
It runs the spectrum from, I think most service learning on this campus at least, revolves around tutoring. The Schools of Hope program, for example, receives a lot of students' participation from UW-Madison. But it's working in bilingual programs. It's working with disabled people. It runs a gamut, almost anything you can think of. People involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Alters Peace had this comment in it, I'd like for both of you to respond, that the shovel-ready public works projects will definitely get funded to stimulate the economies, referencing that. The people-ready good works projects might not. What do you think about that, Kathy?
I'm sorry, but I'm not sure I quite understand. Can you tell me the distinction of what he's talking about?
Programs like AmeriCorps, et cetera, that we may have a lot of people-ready, you know, shovel-ready jobs for building a green economy, for rebuilding our infrastructure, roads, et cetera, but there won't be a funding to expand programs like the Peace Corps or to expand national service.
Well, it's always hard to say what will get funded or not. I'm hoping that the powers that be see the importance of all of those types of ways to serve, and because they do have very different kinds of impact on local communities. Some of them are more community development, and I think it's showing the value of that type of volunteering or type of service will be very important in showing the results of what good work has come, good results have come as a result of those types of service. So, I mean, it's so hard to predict what will or won't be funded, but I hope that that they can see that there is extreme value and need for all types of service.
Do you want to respond to that, Michael?
Yes. I think it would be pretty short-sighted not to fund programs like United Way, the nonprofit sector, in large part because doing so speaks to the president-elect's idea of social solidarity, of integrating all members of all societies into America. And so volunteerism, for example, generally really speaks to the idea of cohesive communities. It fosters greater trust among different communities. It talks about solidarity. It talks about reciprocity. And these are all essential elements of a healthy society. And so if we ignore those, we do so at our own peril.
Mm-hmm. We're going to welcome phone calls for our guests, and here's how you reach us. It's 800-486-8655. Michael Thornton is with us, faculty director at the Morgridge Center for Public Service at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Kathy Martinson is director of the United Way Volunteer Center in Madison. And we're talking about national service. Is there and should there be a way for the president to include a call for national service when he is inaugurated on January 20th? Do you worry, as Jonathan Alter points to in his interesting Newsweek article that got this program rolling, actually, that there may not be a money because we need so much money for economic stimulus and to bail out the banks, et cetera, that people-ready good works programs like AmeriCorps, like the Peace Corps, VISTA programs, et cetera, might not receive the funding that they need in order for people to perform national service? What do you want the president to call on you to do to make the world a better place, I guess, is the question of the hour. 800-486-8655 is our number. I'm Kathleen Dunn. To your calls in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we go to your phone calls now. We'll start with Ron from Milwaukee. Hi, Ron.
Hi. Good to talk to you. You know, it seems that for the military budget and for the bailouts, certain special interest groups have been funded very well by the U.S. government and have had pressure and power to get that money. How about the nonprofits? Have you heard of any way that nonprofits and service organizations can put equal, if not significant, pressure on this government to fund the good works of America instead of the other?
Kathy, you want to start?
Sure. I think a really important thing that nonprofits need to do is, and I don't know that we always do as good a job of this as we need to, is showing the results of our work. And I think, you know, there's so much good work getting done at the local level, and we need to be very open about that and vocal about it and showing what good work is happening, what impact we're making on our local communities and how that is helping build stronger communities and helping educate our children, helping our older adults be independent, all the good things that we're doing, and make that very apparent. And then it becomes more apparent to the powers that be. It becomes apparent to our volunteers, our donors, our elected officials. And so I think that's an important first step that we all need to do.
And is there any direct pressure and real power that you can put on them. You know, they use the military uses fear and all kinds of emergency stuff, but the nonprofits seem to be ignored when it comes to, you know, government urgency.
Michael, you want to take that?
I think he's exactly right, and I think that really speaks to the need for nonprofits to really coalesce more as one body. I think there's a movement in that direction, but I think he really speaks to an important point that the nonprofits really don't have a loud voice in public policy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ron, very much for your call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Jane next. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling because of the to discuss the sort of the fireside living room groups that were supposed to have been implemented after the election. There was a huge amount of grassroots volunteerism for Obama, mm-hmm. and a lot of discussion right after the election about how that network of people was going to be harnessed and used to implement change going forward, and some discussion about whether it was going to be incorporated into the Democratic National Committee or whether it was going to be something that Obama was going to basically, since he had the network and used the Internet so well and had so many volunteers, that he was going to incorporate that. And some discussion of disappointment by people who had really volunteered for Obama's campaign, that they now wanted to continue on working for meaningful change, mm-hmm. and that they had gone to his website, and I can't remember what it was called, that was set up right after the election, to look for those opportunities. There was a place for input, and were somewhat disappointed because it was very shallow. And they, I mean, there's a head of steam of already coordinated volunteers out there that the Obama campaign, the Obama people know about.
Right. And what do you want them to do?
Well, my sense is that, and I live in a rural area in northern Wisconsin, my sense is that these people had gotten used to working together, and that the question came up earlier about what is meaningful volunteerism, and your guest said, you know, people volunteer when they feel that they can make something happen.
Right.
And that is really true. Another reason people volunteer is to meet other people of like mind, so they want the affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are here and ready to do it and do want to work either in the schools for environmental issues. We have some racial issues in northern Wisconsin that, you know, affect because we're near an Indian reservation. And I think there's a lot of people here who are ready to do that. They just, and they know each other already because they volunteered. We didn't get a lot of money up here to volunteer for Obama from the Democratic National Party, but the work that was done was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what they just need is a little bit of coordination and leadership and say, okay, now, you know, let's be involved in these legislative efforts, or let's be involved in, you know, some guidance, I think.
Right. Michael, you want to respond to that?
Yes. I think in some ways it's not very fruitful to look for the president to give us direction, because I think what we really need to do is focus on the local level. And with that in mind, that getting involved with a lot of nonprofits, they find an issue that's exciting to you, that's important to you, and contact the nonprofit and work with them about that. If you're waiting for the president to give us answers, you'll still be waiting after he's long out of office. So it's really about kind of making change on the local level.
Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, when President Kennedy called for people to join the Peace Corps and VISTA, and when Clinton called for people to join AmeriCorps, people did that, didn't they, Kathy?
They did. And again, I think it was a real specific call to action, and people could, they knew that there was a need for that, and it really resonated with so many people that, oh, this was a new way to get involved to help their community. So again, I think, you know, that is one way, and I totally agree with Michael, is that people need to, you know, look at how they can get involved at the local level. Nonprofits need to be paying attention right now to say, there is this, if this movement is truly there and we have this opportunity, we need to seize that, and we need to reach out and let folks know how they can get involved in their communities. So I think
if I may just interject, though,
yeah,
for a
sure.
minute, because all of the people that were involved in this neck of the woods are very involved in many nonprofits on a local level.
Mm-hmm.
And so forgive me, but it's somewhat of a cop-out to say, oh, just go get involved with your local charities, because we are ready. hugely involved with local charities. And what the call was here for the change that I'm talking about, people really actually felt for the first time that they were going to have a chance to make on a maybe a governmental or a law passing level some change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
I see your point.
And so just to say, go volunteer for the local food pantry, people are doing that until they're blue in the face. That's not what they're looking for right now.
They're looking for ways to become involved in environmental issues or whatever the case may be.
And they may be looking for ways to get more funding for those local food pantries.
Right.
There may be ways to be building coalitions.
Mm-hmm. And what about that aspect, Kathy? That they're looking to make significant legislative change here as well. Get more funding for food pantries. Let's start with that.
Sure. Well, and I think it's that it's important to start showing what the results are of not just individual volunteer work, but collectively what volunteers are doing, what nonprofits are doing, what results that we're seeing because of all the great work that is going on. And I don't know that that is as well stated as it could be. So I think people do, whether it's volunteers or if it's coming together as groups of volunteers or agencies and making a statement, you know, contacting the media, showing what good things are going on is really important, and contacting legislators. And I mean, I think that all comes at the grassroots level, and the more people can come together to do that, all the better. But I think it still starts at the local level versus waiting for somebody to tell us to do that or at the national level. I think it's a responsibility that we need to do that from the local level and work the way up to the people that need to be listening to us, who can make those kinds of changes and decisions for us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. You make a very legitimate point, Jane. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and we go to Anita next from Gurnee, Illinois. Hi, Anita.
Hi. I just wanted to bring something up that just came to my attention because it was something I'd never thought of until we make really small contributions to a lot of organizations. And two of them recently wrote us a letter letting us know that because of the Bernard Madoff debacle, that so many of the large contributors that give them grants every year and upon whom they depend, they're not going to be able to do that. And so these agencies, these nonprofit foundations, are really getting hit from several sides. And so if ever they needed help, monetary and volunteers, mm-hmm. this would be the time. And not only that, I mean, it seems to me like that money is never going to really be gotten or retrieved or come back. If there's any funds left, it'll go to the people that, you know, were invested. But it's not going to be on a level where they can write out the check they normally do to really help those foundations. So I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention because it sure was a domino effect I hadn't thought of.
Yeah, thanks, Anita, for the call. Michael?
I think that's a good point. I think part of the way around some of these issues of funding would be to kind of follow up on President-elect's idea about integrating service into the learning process in high schools and colleges and universities. Because, for example, the UW-Madison, in a service learning course, if students would get credit for work in the community, we could double and triple the number of students who actually volunteer in the city of Madison and Dane County. So there are other ways of kind of looking at possibilities that doesn't require a lot of funding, but also requires a lot of leadership from our president.
And do you have a sense of how many schools in Wisconsin are doing just that, high schools or even elementary or middle schools or colleges integrating service?
I'm not so sure about the high schools and elementary schools, but nationally there's about 900 college universities, college presidents who are very much involved in the idea that the civic aspect of college education is vital.
Mm-hmm.
And so they also have resources that are available to colleges and universities to do that in the state of Wisconsin, but also nationally.
Yeah. Give us a sense, Kathy, of how nonprofits may be hurting as a result of financial shenanigans, which is an understated word here, in New York. Are you facing, United Way and other organizations, really facing some financial problems this year?
Well, we're certainly anxious and watching what's going to be happening. We were very fortunate here in Dane County to reach our campaign goal this year. But we are, you know, watching what is going to happen, and I don't think anybody's really certain of what that's going to be. So, again, even more so if people are able to give of their time. I mean, nonprofits are going to be relying even more so on volunteers in these coming months and perhaps years to help them in any way possible. And so we're just kind of waiting to see, but it is an issue we're certainly all very concerned about.
Right. Lance is next. Hi, Lance.
Yes, I had just a few questions. I've been involved with a conservation corps similar to the Civilian Conservation Corps that was started in the 30s, but my work was in Minnesota. I was wondering if they're a push to get stuff like that would help work on roads and bridges and things and maybe to help fix up state parks in Wisconsin, if they're a push to do anything like that.
Well, I think you're going to see some of that outlined during the president's inauguration, I would imagine. That's certainly part of his economic stimulus plan. I don't know if they're going to give it a name, but I think it's in the beginning stages right now. Unless it's farther along, do either of our guests know about significant plans in that direction?
I'm not aware of one.
No, I would say more on a local level that we, within our area, there are a lot of opportunities and a lot of environmental opportunities with the with our city parks and our county parks and natural resources departments. So I know that there are some things going on. I don't know about a bigger movement right now, but certainly at a local level, we have a lot of that going on right now.
Right. I think you're going to see more of that outlined in the next few weeks, Lance.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for your call. Melanie is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Melanie.
Hello. I just wanted to call and say I'm currently I'm a soldier in the U.S. Army. I'm a recruiter in Milwaukee, but I think that a call to service for, you know, the youth of this country once they get out of high school is pivotal to get them back involved and realize that we're not going to move forward in the country unless, you know, it's more of a we versus I, in that it really would give them the opportunity to get some maturity and direction with what they want to do with their life. Because with such a push of, oh, you have to go to college after you graduate, oh, you have to go to college, a lot of kids aren't sure what they want to do. You know, I often ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? And kids are like, I don't know. And having gone to college for a while before I joined the Army, I came to realize I was kind of not sure what I wanted to do for a degree. So I joined the military, and now I'm finishing up my bachelor's degree. But it took that opportunity to kind of step back and being able to just kind of get some maturity and growth under my belt to realize how I could be the most effective and contribute to my country and, you know, just help make a positive impact. Like I tell kids, I don't care if you join the Army or not. I want you to be a positive contribution to this country in whatever way, shape, or form. And helping them to get an education, you know, if some financial opportunities come with that for college and whatnot, I think that would be an outstanding way to get kids out of debt for the future, but also to, you know, just positively impact them and give them a sense of purpose and responsibility.
Right. Kathy?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for your service. That is great for you to call in and share that. And I would say, you know, the more engaged young people can get in whatever way they want to be involved is so important. And just kind of going back to volunteering, we know that when young people volunteer, and that's why I think it's very exciting that there's more and more going on in the schools, be it service learning or community service or volunteerism, whatever title they might use, that the more we get our youth engaged in the community, that more we know that then they continue to volunteer into adulthood. That just becomes a part of the fabric of who they are, and it helps them develop great skills like leadership skills, decision-making skills, maybe some career exploration as you know, in their younger years to kind of figure out what they do want to do after they graduate from high school, whatever that might be. So I think the movement is very exciting for young people to be more involved in volunteering and then to help them better make those decisions as they move on into adulthood.
Michael, what do you think about the idea of a year of national service following high school or following college?
Well, I think that would be great, but in and of itself, that's inadequate. I think, as the past caller just mentioned, I think that a learning civic responsibility can never start too early. And I think that's particularly important given a time when economic hardships and that we really need to work together as one society. And so volunteering early on, learning civic responsibility early on, leads to strengthened ties among different communities. And I think So the 1 year of service is important, but that in and of itself is inadequate.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Melanie, very much for your call today. Let's go to Marlene from Greendale. Hi, Marlene.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good, I'm great. I just wanted to make a couple of comments about the Obama activities here in Milwaukee. I've been meeting with some Obama groups that originally started with house parties way back in the general election, and we are continuing to meet, and we are having activities. For example, one of the things that we did before Christmas was we went, each of us agreed we would go to our neighbors and ask them to contribute food for food pantries, because we knew of a couple of food pantries in our community that were very low on food. And as your caller from northern Wisconsin stated, people who were involved in Obama house parties, people who were heavily involved as volunteers, are activists. They've been involved all along, but these are extraordinary circumstances. And what we're trying to do is to broaden the community and not just do more ourselves, but try to bring more people into that circle. And so, for that reason, we went door to door in our own neighborhoods soliciting contributions. And also, certainly we are involved ourselves, but again, extraordinary circumstances mean that perhaps we have to give more than we have in the past. Also, as her comment about working, is it going to be through the Democratic Party, or is the Obama group going to remain separate? My hope is that they will be working as a unified group, because I think their strength in joining together, I think the principles of both groups are very similar, and we, through some of our activities, are doing that also. As I'm sure some of your listeners know, on the 19th, we have a national day of service in honor of the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And so we are running phone banks here in Milwaukee, calling people, not just team leaders, not just people who are in Obama house parties, but people all over the city who might get involved in this. This is a chance for them to do something for National Day of Service, and we're giving them some ideas. And among them, again, is food pantry contributions, because the need is so great. But I think there is strength in numbers, and if we want to get involved in the legislative process, that, again, you get a group of people who are very concerned. They write letters. They call their congressmen, their senators. They go to see them when they have listening sessions in their home counties. And it might seem like it's the same old thing for people who are activists, but I think our job as activists is to try to build that coalition, make it bigger, bring more people in, mm-hmm. so that they recognize the power that they can have, just as they showed their power by sweeping the election in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting to hear you call in and talk about what you're doing, Marlene, and a lot of people will say, that's great, I didn't even know that was happening.
Yeah, well, and again, it's because it's not a big national, it's not Senator Obama, President-elect Obama, saying, I want everybody to do this.
Right.
I was very involved in the campaign, and what the campaign workers said all along was, what we want to do is build a structure, build a foundation for something that is going to go on, and not something that's going to end with Election Day on November 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to get you're not going to get money to do this from the national committee or from the government. You're not going to get hired staff people to lead you in doing this. We had team leaders. Team leaders have had a lot of training. They learned how to work with teams in their communities. That was the power of the election. Some of those teams have become very, very close. And as was said, many people said they didn't want it to end with November 4th. They wanted to see what else they can do. And so it really depends on local people saying, and not saying we need leadership, say we have leadership. We are the leaders. We are the activists.
Right.
And let's get together. Let's do something. What are the needs in our community?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a conservation need? I can speak for the South Milwaukee. I know they're working there to try to restore the mill pond. They're trying to do things with the parks people in the area. I mean, there are groups like that we can join forces with and work together with for making a better quality of life for the people in our communities, and to to revitalize our country, just as President Elect Obama mm-hmm. is urging us to do.
Yeah. So before we say goodbye to you, do you have a place on the internet that talks about your activities, Marlene? Or
we do not, but I'm trying to remember. I'm not real quick with the internet, but I know that they're continuing to send out emails saying, you know, they did do a poll asking what your number one issues were for the president to work on when he was after he was sworn into office.
Mm-hmm.
They tabulated those and circulated a list of the top 10 issues that were referred to on December 13th and 14th. There were 13,000 or 14,000 Obama house parties around the country, talking about what their main concerns were, what their issues were, and what they could do on a local level to help to make our country a better place. What they could do to pass on to our legislators. And so, I mean, there's a lot of this
sure.
stuff going on. It's just not, it's not in the newspapers. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just what good people do in good neighborhoods, I
All
think.
Right. Thanks, Marlene, very much for your call. Here's an interesting email. Let's go to both of you for your response on this. Michael, this is from Marvin in Superior. Nonprofits need to get together and form some sort of group lobby force in order to make an assertive effort throughout the world instead of one group here and another group there.
I think that's right on. I think ultimately nonprofits do a lot of good work, but oftentimes they are in competition with each other when it comes to funding. And so I believe there is a national movement currently in place trying to do that, to create a coalition of nonprofits, and it's long overdue.
Mm-hmm.
But if I might go back to Marlene's earlier comment, that I think what she's describing exactly is what a democracy should be about. We often think about leaders as our governors or our president, and that they're important, and they can help set the framework, but real leadership comes from the grassroots, and the real change will come from the grassroots. That's where most of us have a lot of power. Nationally, very few of us actually do.
Kathy.
Well, what Marlene was talking about was very exciting to hear, because that's exactly what we need, our folks to be getting so excited and so involved and continuing to have that energy put forth in their local community. And as nonprofit organizations, we do need to align more and collaborate and work together and show the impact of what we're doing. So the more coalitions of nonprofits come together and can do that and, you know, do some more work together and collaborate is great, and then that there's power in numbers, and so that's going to better demonstrate the great work that's being done.
And we'll take more phone calls in just one moment. We're talking about volunteering this hour, and our conversation prompted in part by an interesting piece by Jonathan Alter, who was supposed to have joined us, but I don't know where he is, who looked at Democrats who are going to have $700 billion stimulus package. They say, some of them, that it will be ready for the president to sign as soon as possible. But he talked about the fact that some of the people-ready good works projects may not have the funding that they need. And Obama has built this infrastructure on the web where millions of people are interested in doing something, so maybe he needs to take the leadership role here and say, here's what you can do, and here's a way to do it. So that's what we're talking about this hour. We have two guests with us. Kathy Martinson is director of United Way Volunteer Center in Madison, and Michael Thornton is faculty director at the Mortgage Center for Public Service at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-486-8655 is our number, and let's go to Paul from Madison next. Hi, Paul.
Oh, yes, all right. Some of what I wanted to ask about was adumbrated later on, and it was the idea of community-wide and statewide lists of volunteer agencies that will take volunteer labor.
Uh-huh. It's a good idea.
As you know, I'm calling from Madison. There mm-hmm. may be such a list in Madison. If there is, I don't know about it, let alone a statewide list.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the calamitous position, in the words of the old Six song, the rock and roll group from decades ago, of what a calamity, I've got too much time on my hands. And I was thinking about going down to Morgridge because they're the only volunteer center I've heard of, but I'm not a student. And I wondered if there'd be any point in going there. Would a organization on campus even look at a non-student for a volunteer?
Hmm.
And if they were in my position, where might they go for such a list? And who might be their first phone call?
Yeah, excellent idea and question, Paul. Michael?
There's a website for you. Volunteeryourtime, all one word, .org. It's part of the Morgan Center website. And it lists a number of different possibilities of volunteering and also gives you a number of different organizations.
Is that for Madison or statewide? Or?
It's mostly for the Dane County area.
Uh-huh. What about a statewide place? We need places like this. We need to know where to go.
If I can add to that, absolutely, and thank you for saying the website, because that's the perfect way for folks to get involved within Dane County. Also, if people want to call, they can reach our volunteer center by calling 211, just dialing the number 211. It's a United Way service for people who either want to give or get help. So that's the place to go, as well as the website for our area. And then statewide, there are 17 volunteer centers around the state. And so we have a website called, it's volunteerwisconsin.org.
Volunteer Wisconsin. That is spelled out, Wisconsin?
Yes.
All right.
All one word, volunteer Wisconsin.
.org. Okay.
And that has a listing of all the volunteer centers in the state.
Okay.
And then also 211, the phone number 211 works throughout the state as well. And so if anybody anywhere in the state calls 211, they can also get information about how they can volunteer.
Really?
Yep.
Is any of that on the, in the case of Madison, for example, is any of that listed on the community pages for the Madison.com website?
United Way of Dane County has a page on the community pages, and so there is a link to Volunteer Your Time there. So volunteeryourtime.org, there's a link, because that's a shared database with several organizations, including the Mortgage Center and United Way. So you can get to the site there.
Okay, but does Mortgage itself take non-students?
We're more than willing to work with you and find out what your interests are. So come on down.
Head on over there, Paul.
There'd be a kind of a reference or redirect then.
Pardon me?
There would be kind of a reference or redirect then.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul, very much.
Thank you for your time.
But for people in Green Bay and in Wausau and Superior and Milwaukee, this volunteerwisconsin.org would be the place for everybody to go.
Exactly. And then it has a listing of all 17 volunteer centers so they could find the closest one to where they're living to give a call to.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now I'm glad I held for as long as I did.
I am too, Paul.
Thank you.
You were the call we were looking for.
Not just locally, but on a statewide basis.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for your call.
Okay,
let us go next to June from Toronto. Hi, June.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Michael. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to suggest an area where volunteers are very much needed, and that is with the elderly and the disabled. I began volunteering about 12 years ago, and as you said, once you're a volunteer, it's a lifetime commitment. The elderly are suffering at this time because of many reasons, high gas prices, high fuel costs, and, of course, the amount of medications that they have to take. And this is a burden, and many of them are not capable of taking care of things that are physical, and youth have many physical talents. They can do things like, in my neighborhood, a young man who's at this point on unemployment goes around and helps people remove the snow, which is a big problem right now. It's snowing right now. And there's things that youth can do in their own home. Teach your grandmother and grandfather how to use the computer so they can read the newspaper online. This is an area where I work, volunteering for computer training for these people.
Great.
Simple
mm-hmm.
computer training. And it was very rewarding. I even taught someone who was almost blind to use a computer, and his main reason was he wanted to read the newspapers online. There's so many things that youth can do in their own neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask around.
Hmm.
Start at home.
Start at home. Thanks, June, very much for your call. Let's go next to Joe from Wausau. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I would like to just comment on your guests have kind of been stepping around an issue that I think is really important. When asked what you guys are doing to leverage the government, what the response I continuously hear is we need to show that what we're doing is working and how it's working. And I think it's quite obvious what nonprofits do and how these volunteer organizations influence the community. And quite frankly, the national government doesn't care if something works or not. They care about the political clout of the organization that that they are funding. So I want you guys to try to address what you are doing to create some sort of actual lobbying organization to really fundamentally leverage the government to support your causes, and not just, you know, so you're not just these little people sitting here saying, we need help, amongst this sea of powerful, wealthy people.
Mm. It's a good question. Kathy, take it on.
Okay, we do have, I don't think that it's always very clear what impact nonprofits are having. I think we assume that it's known that nonprofits are doing good work, but I don't know that we really make it known and tell our stories well and show the impact and the importance of the work that we're doing and how things wouldn't be where they are, or communities would not be the great places that they are if it weren't for the work of nonprofits. So I do think there's a lot of work that we can be doing to tell those stories and demonstrate the impact. You know, we do have local officials that we work with. We work very closely with our city and county government and state government on a lot of the efforts that we're involved with through United Way, so that they're very aware of what we're doing and partners with us in many ways. And then through our state and national office, I mean, there are certainly other ways in which we are demonstrating the needs of nonprofits, the good works of nonprofits, and helping to make that case. So I think there are things going on, and I think different agencies handle that in different ways. But we certainly do work a lot, mainly on our local level, of involving our local governments with our work.
Michael.
I think there are a lot of large universities, public and private, who've been advocating over the last 5 or 10 years for, first of all, an emphasis in college education on civic engagement and responsibility for our society.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 3 or 4 years ago, some of the very large University of Pennsylvania, UW, University of California, Berkeley, a number of other campuses like that, have been forming a Research One group that will advocate on a national level for civic engagement in colleges and universities. That's more long-term, obviously, than short-term. But I think we need things like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call. Let's go next to Linda from Milwaukee. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm Linda Sunday with the Corporation for National and Community Service.
Mm.
You've had some callers who have been, your most recent caller, asking about Wisconsin nonprofit organizations banding together. There is a Wisconsin Nonprofit Association, which is a member of the National Council of Nonprofits. And this organization has been involved in getting recommendations to the transition team for President-elect Obama.
Great.
The Wisconsin Nonprofits Association email is info@wisconsinnonprofits.org.
Say that again, please.
Info at Wisconsin Nonprofits. .org.
Okay.
And I'm sure they'd be happy to hear from anyone who has success stories or recommendations for how the nonprofit sector can be involved with the new administration.
Mm-hmm.
There have also been some callers with regard to Martin Luther King Day activities and how to get involved and how to register those upcoming events. The Presidential Inauguration Committee has a website where you can do that, PIC2009.org/new-event.
/new-event, okay.
The Corporation for National Community Service also has a Martin Luther King Day website where people can go to look for events that have registered and ways they can get involved. There are tools and news and resources there at www.mlkday.org.
MLK Day.gov. .gov. Terrific.
Okay, so I hope these are helpful.
Yeah, they are very helpful. Thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. And that's about it for our time. We want to thank our guests, Kathy Martinson. Thank you so much for being with us this hour.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Kathy, director of the United Way Volunteer Center in Madison, and Michael Thornton, who is faculty director at the Morgridge Center for Public Service at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Michael, thank you so much for being with us as well.
Thank you very much.
And again, the websites, well, we should post them, actually, and we'll try and post them on our website so that you have a sense of, I don't want to leave this hour saying, well, we had a great discussion about this, but nobody knows where to go. I think that probably for Martin Luther King Day, MLKDay.gov is a great suggestion for us, and volunteerwisconsin.org. So that will get you in touch with 17 volunteer centers all over the state of Wisconsin. We broadcast statewide, so that's good for us to know. That's volunteerwisconsin.org. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Rob Schroeder for producing this hour, and thanks, everybody, for all of your calls and interest in this subject. I'm Kathleen Dunn. We'll be with you again tomorrow at 9 o'clock talking about big issues. Stay tuned. There are great conversations ahead. It's a minute before 11, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.